We have been for a number of weeks now enjoying the fellowship with you as we have meditated day after day in the book of Ephesians, the revelation that God gave to the Apostle Paul concerning the church, which is the body of Christ. Having taken up our position in Christ in the first three chapters, now he invites us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. As Christians, we ought to walk in the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace. As Christians, as children of God, we ought to walk in the power and life of a new creation. And then, because God is love, we ought to walk in love. And the example given to us in chapter 5, verse 2, is our Savior for love sacrifices. And allow me again to repeat it. My love for God is displayed by my obedience to His Word. My love for others is displayed by sacrifice. Genuine love always sacrifices. And then we found that we were children of light. And remembering the fact that God is light, and we are the children of one who is light, that means he is absolutely holy in his character, then we as children of light ought to manifest that life of holiness before men. And he informs us how to do this. We walk in light, some things we shouldn't do, things that shouldn't even be mentioned among us. For light, you know, dispels darkness. And the very fact that a Christian lives before God among men, he's a light shining in a dark place. It's what you have in Philippians chapter 2, where we are the sons of God in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation among whom we shine as lights. And then we are to walk in wisdom, and this is which these are the things we've been dealing with, four aspects of a one who is a wise Christian. If a one is a wise Christian, we'll walk carefully. We'll be very careful how we walk. And then we will redeem the time. That means to buy up the opportunity of knowing Christ, of living for Christ, of witnessing for Him, and so on. And then a wise Christian also understands the will of the Lord. And this can only come through the knowledge of the Scripture. And as we give ourselves to the Word of God, then we come to know what His will is, not only for the church, but for us individually. And then the fourth evidence of a wise Christian is to be Spirit-filled. Be not drunk with wine in its excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And again, I repeat it, normal Christianity is one who is habitually filled with the Spirit of God. Keep on being filled. Not be under the control of wine, but be under the control of the Spirit of God. And by the way, this is a continual thing. Continual thing. I'm only born of the Spirit once, and indwelt by the Spirit, and that carries on through eternity. We're sealed by the Spirit until the day of redemption. We're baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. This speaks of our union. But this question of Spirit filling, it depends upon a life of yieldedness to God. And by the way, that's the wise one. That's the wise life, the life that is yielded to God. Sometimes, you know, I ask the question, do you think that God can run your life better than you can run it? And of course, we immediately say, of course he can. Then why don't we let him run it? Why do we interfere with God running our lives? We want our own way. We want our own self-desires. And even though it may hurt somebody else, even though it dishonors God, we're going to have our own way. So we run our lives into the ditch. And God is very gracious with us. He hems us in. He puts things our way, circumstances, so that he wants us to get back to himself. It may be I'm talking to some today who you're out of fellowship with God. You've wanted your own way. You've insisted upon having your own way. And you're still not very happy, are you? You never will be. You never will be. The selfish life is not a happy life. You yield yourself over to the Lord at His will. Or as the Apostle Paul could say in Corinthians 5, being ambitious to be found pleasing to God. Oh, what a wonderful thing. To live a life pleasing to God. This, my friend, is the life of joy, of blessing, of usefulness. This is the full life. And it's far more blessed to give than to receive. Now, this is a daily process. Now, the result of such a life, we may continue our studies The result of such a life in verses 19 and 20 will be filled with joy, with songs, melody in our heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. It's a life of joy, of singing, of praising, of thanksgiving. You know, this is a life, and really when you get into it, you're amazed at what God does for you and in you and through you. So your life becomes a life of joy, of praise, of thanksgiving, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, Mr. Mitchell, does that mean I've got to go around singing all the time? Well, he said here, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And I tell you, when your heart sings, it isn't very long before your mouth is singing too. Is that right? When your heart is full of joy, it's evident by something. You say, well, I can't even carry a tune. Well, what of it? What of it? You know, it's an amazing thing that God listens to the joy of the heart and the praise and worship of the heart, not so much what comes out of the mouth. Sometimes a person may have a wonderful voice, but God takes no notice of it. Yet there might be some dear old saint with a cracked voice, but the heart is rejoicing in him, and the Lord takes note of that. You see, the Lord looketh upon the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. We love to hear somebody with a wonderful voice, but too often that wonderful voice is not dedicated to the Lord. And along comes somebody with their eyes closed and their mouth open, they're singing God's praise, don't even keep in tune. But it's a real worship to the Lord. This is what the Lord loves. And when one is spirit-filled in fellowship with God, your heart is full of praise and thanksgiving and worship. These are the things that are vital. These are the things that are real. There may not be any outward show of it, but there's that worship, that satisfaction of being in the will of God. It causes your heart to bubble up with joy and with thanksgiving to Him. Sometimes it comes out in a song on your lips, but more often than not, it may be in your own room or you're driving the car, wherever you are. You might even hum a tune. I don't know where it is, but there's a joy there. There's a blessing there. And you're full of thanksgiving to the Lord. You see, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You mean thanking God for everything? Yes, because sometimes the very tests of life, the very afflictions of life, are the things that God uses to draw you close to Himself. You know, I've been in conference work all summer, and I've met Christians from different parts, and I've met some who've been going through some very, very deep waters. I think of one precious young woman with four children going through very, very, very deep waters. And she made this statement to me. She said, you know, Mr. Mitchell, it's done one thing to me. It's drawn me so close to the Lord that I'm willing to go through anything just so I can glorify the Lord. It's changed my whole life. Instead of being bitter and sour, you know, it's given me joy. It's given me blessing. And I thank Him for every test and every trial. As one dear little woman said up here in the Portland Sanitarium, she said, I'd go through this whole thing again. These last 3 weeks, I've suffered a great deal. But I'd go through it again if I thought I would have the same experience with God that I had before. You see, the Lord permits trials, and He permits circumstances, even if though they're hard. You can live above them and see the hand of God through it. And when your spirit filled, walking in fellowship with God, it is just simply wonderful. Do you remember I was telling you on the radio here some days ago of a dear Bible teacher in Australia? And when his daughter came in to see him, she said, well, Daddy, how are you? And he said, you know, dear, my eyes are so that I can't see. I can't even read my Bible. And I'm so weak, I can't even pray. Was he bitter? Oh, no. So he said, you know what I'm doing? I've just laid my head on the Lord's bosom, and I'm just enjoying Him for Himself. Ah, this is the place to be, of real joy, irrespective of circumstances. This is the life of faith. This is the Spirit-filled life. Not so a lot of hoopla, but a joyous, joyous blessing of coming in the presence of God and enjoying Christ for Himself. Real fellowship. thanksgiving, worship, praise. And this is what God has for you. This is the Spirit-filled life. Now let me again repeat. We have here four evidences of a wise Christian. Not just one, but four evidences. Not just being Spirit-filled, four evidences. Again, I repeat them. We ought to walk carefully. See, walk correctly. And secondly, we ought to redeem the time. Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. We are to understand the will of the Lord. And this comes through staying in the Word of God. He wants us to walk wisely in His will. And fourthly, we are to be Spirit-filled. It would be a wonderful thing if everyone who's listening to me today would come to that place of just being in intimate fellowship with the Lord. Marvelous thing, isn't it? Isn't it a marvelous thing that you and I can come into the presence of God, have fellowship with Him? I say, my friend, there is no life comparable to it. The world can have its baubles and its gold and its silver. But I tell you, what we have is eternal. These other things are passing, just transient. And the blessings you may have with them is a passing blessing. But to know that whatever comes into life, whatever the circumstances, whatever the afflictions, the joys, the sorrows, to live in the place of the experience of the presence of the One who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So may the Lord wonderfully bless you today, and may you be filled with the Spirit of God, which means with praise and thanksgiving and worship. And why not do that, by the way? Why not go ahead round your house, clean up your house, wash your dishes, take care of the babies, or in the office, or whatever you're doing? Remember, the Lord Jesus is with you. Not a theory, not a doctrine, but a reality. He's right there with you, my friend, to glorify Himself in and through you. He wants to fill you with joy, as He said, my joy I give unto you, that your joy may be full. Now may your joy be full today as you walk in fellowship with Him.